Friends in Christ, hearers of God's word, grace and peace to you from God, our source, and from Jesus, our food. Amen. This is sort of contemporary. I'm 80 years old, and I don't have a teleprompter. But it's all here. According to historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, President Abraham Lincoln was single-minded. His guiding principle was the good of the nation. In his crucial time, the good of the nation meant preserving the Union, the United States, and ridding the nation of slavery, behaving as a nation as if all people are indeed created equal, as our just days ago celebrated Declaration of Independence states. Because of his commitment to end slavery, Lincoln was extremely unpopular with conservatives, pro-slavery people, particularly in the South. Because of his commitment to preserve the Union, Lincoln took a more gradual, slower approach to abolition, hoping that given time, Southerners would change their thinking. That gradual tactic left Lincoln extremely unpopular with the progressives in the North, including those in his own party. In the midst of this storm of unpopularity, President Lincoln remained single-minded. He wasn't concerned about his own popularity or his chances for re-election. He wasn't concerned about the polls, if there were any in those days. The president remained laser-focused on his primary goal, the good of the nation. Imagine that. In her biography of Lincoln, Team of Rivals, the political genius of Abraham Lincoln, Goodwin reports that single-minded Lincoln selected for his cabinet many of his fiercest critics. Some of them had been his opponents in the search for the Republican presidential nomination. He selected them because they were capable people whose gifts and talents would contribute to the good of the nation. During the Civil War, Lincoln had opportunity to appoint a Chief Justice for the Supreme Court. When he told his closest advisors that he had selected a man who, while passionately anti-slavery and pro-freed slaves, had said some terrible things about Lincoln, his advisor said, "Do you know what this man has said about you?" Lincoln replied, "I know more than you know about what he has said about me, and I would sooner swallow this chair than appoint him to this seat. But when this war is over, the freed slaves are going to need him in this position." Single-minded, a heart of compassion coupled with a backbone of steel, and a commitment to keep his ego in check. Amazing leadership. It's no wonder his image is on the penny and the $5 bill and that monument, that beautiful monument in Washington, D.C. Jesus said, "Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Jesus said, You must be single-minded. It was late 1988 or early 1989, about 35 years ago, and the church council here at Faith Lutheran had an important decision to make. Will you permit a former pastor some reminiscing? I share this not primarily for those of you who were here at the time, but for those who were not. I was not a U.S. citizen during Lincoln's presidency or the Civil War, but I am a U.S. citizen now, and it's important for me to know that story because it is my story. In the same way, I hope that you who weren't here at that time will find good value in learning this part of your congregation's story. So, late 88, early 89, the building project was nearing completion. It included all of the buildings that you see on this campus, including this one, all except what we used to call the office building. I don't know what they call it now, but the office building had been completed early in 1980, just before my arrival. The theme that we had chosen for this ambitious, expensive project was building for mission. But most of the building project money had been spent or was spoken for. The question before the church council was this: shall we purchase for the kitchen a $7,000 exhaust hood over the stovetop, a hood which would qualify us to serve food to the public out of our kitchen someday, or shall we save money and just put in a $2,000 hood? One council member, reminding us to be single-minded, said, "Well, we say we are building for mission, so I don't think we have much choice. We have to spend the $7,000 for the super hood." The vote was unanimous, and that $7,000 hood, if it hasn't broken down yet, has it broken down yet? Still in the church kitchen. Jesus said, "Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. No slave can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth." Jesus said, "You must be single-minded." So, several years later, a fire put Chico's only free meals feeding program, the Jesus Center, out of business for a while. I knew that the UPS worker who often delivered packages to the church office was on the Jesus Center board, and one day I asked him how they were coping. He reported that they had found a temporary location at the Newman Center at Chico State for their Monday through Friday one meal a day program, but were still looking for a site for the Saturday morning breakfast. After getting the okay from Jerry Sanders, social ministry team chair, I brought to the church council news of the Jesus Center's need for a Saturday morning breakfast site, and a proposal. I proposed that we provide the location and the people to prepare and serve the food and to set up and clean up the parish hall. And the Jesus Center had promised that they would provide all the food. One church council member, again, said, "Well, we paid $7,000 for that hood over the stovetop, so we'd be able to do something like this, and I don't think we have much of a decision to make." This congregation was single-minded, always focused on being followers of Jesus, always remembering that it is our mission to serve people at the point of their need. Have I told you how much I love this congregation? Potentially difficult decisions often prove to be not difficult at all. Jesus said, "Whoever is faithful in a very little will also be faithful in much. No slave can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth." Jesus said, "My disciples must be single-minded." Now, this call to single-mindedness has a long tradition in the Bible. Remember the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods," just one. No other gods. Yahweh, the God who rescues captives and provides manna in the wilderness, is the true God. The gods of grab and get are false gods, not worthy of your devotion. The God of sacrifice and give is the one true God. Today's reading from 1 Samuel, together with readings from recent weeks, presents a contrast between Hannah, who wants a baby, and Eli and his sons. Hannah is single-minded. Eli and his sons are not. Hannah has long been childless and wants a baby. Why does she pray and pour her soul into the prayer? Why does she pray for a baby? Well, maybe she lives in a society, probably did, where childless women were of lower status and not highly regarded, even sometimes targets for harassment. Maybe Harrison Butker, for those of you who don't know, he's a football player, spoke at her graduation and convinced her that being a mother is the primary purpose of her life, the best she has to offer. Maybe she has tried IVF, and the failures have only intensified her determination. Maybe it's just the normal monthly menstrual reminder, and she has long looked forward to being a mom. And maybe she wants to respond to Elkanah's love for her and give him the gift of a baby. Whatever her motivation, Hannah deeply wants to conceive and birth a child. She knows that God is her only hope, and she prays that if God gives her a child, she will loan that child back to God to serve in God's temple. And she doesn't change her mind. She's single-minded. Even after she has carried her son in her womb, even after she has birthed the baby and held the baby and nursed the baby, single-minded Hannah doesn't change her mind. She keeps her side of the bargain. Hannah lets go of this beautiful gift and makes the huge sacrifice and gives her son to old Eli to serve in the temple. And we read today that every year, Hannah visits her growing boy. Can you imagine? Once a year, she visits her little child. Once a year. And every year, she brings a new handmade, lovingly made, larger than last year, linen ephod, a robe to be worn while Samuel serves in the temple. And each year, Eli would bless Hannah and Elkanah, saying, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the loan she has made to the Lord." And then we read, And the Lord took note of Hannah. She conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. But while single-minded Hannah worships the true God of sacrifice and give, the double-minded sons of Eli, supposedly serving the same God, actually worship the false gods of grab and get. The storyteller says, "Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord or for the duties of the priests to the people." No sabbatical for those jerks. "They were greedy, living high off the hog at the expense of God's people, and they were brazenly engaging in what we politely call today sexual impropriety. Instead of caring for God's flock, they were fleecing the flock." So how is it with you? How are you tempted to worship the false gods? You are. I am. We know that. How are you tempted to worship the gods of grab and get? To turn from worshiping and serving the true God of sacrifice and serve? Is it money? Hanging on to money for the false promise of security? Is it status or popularity that competes with the true God? Old Eli scolded his sons for their behavior, but I'm guessing he shrunk from setting boundaries with teeth. When our girls were young, Diane was always better at firm discipline, boundaries with teeth, than I was. Maybe it worked out for Alyssa and Erica, having one parent for law and one for gospel. But I am not proud of being like Eli, reluctant to discipline, to do the hard work, to risk. Jesus said, "Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. No slave can serve 2 masters. You cannot serve God and wealth." Jesus said, "My disciples must be single-minded." How are you tempted to worship the false gods of grab and get and keep, to turn away from the worship of the true God of sacrifice and give and serve? Hannah isn't the only one in the Bible who gave up a son, who made that huge sacrifice. John's gospel tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that all may have life through him." And just as Hannah draws our attention to God who sacrifices and gives, so the boy Samuel draws our attention to Jesus. The storyteller says of Samuel, "Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people." Luke's gospel, surely with an eye on Samuel's story, concludes chapter 2 with these words, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor." Come to the Lord's Supper today and feast on God's single-minded love for you and for all. Eat that love and drink it. Take it into yourself and watch it work its miracles of new life in your heart and mind. And beware, those church council members who risked spending $7,000 for a hood that would enable the mission, and those Faith Lutheran folks who risked coming here early and faithfully on Saturday mornings for the sake of the mission of sacrifice and give and serve, all were regular diners at this subversive meal. The same could happen to you. Maybe it already has. Jesus said, "Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. No slave can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and anything else." Jesus said, "My disciples will find life and joy in single-mindedly following me. Come to the supper. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen.